Hello, and welcome to the Zenith Bank Full Year 2022 conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I am pleased to present Mr. Ebenezer Onyeagu, Group CEO. Sir, please go ahead with the meeting. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome us to this analyst call, where we'll be speaking to the figures and the circumstances around our performance for financial year ended 2022. Before we go on, I'd like to introduce my colleagues that are on this call with me. We have Mr. Henry Oro, Executive Director, Mrs. Adaobi Nwagba, Executive Director, Dr. Tope Fashoranti, Executive Director, Mr. Akin Ogunranti, Executive Director. We have Felix Egbon, our Chief Risk Officer, Mukhtar Adam, our CFO. We have Nsikka Umorin, one of the senior officers in our financial control department. We also have Michael Adesoye of our financial control department. We have Kayode Akinbinu from our financial control department. We have Eugene Ewubo, also from our financial control and strategy unit, as well as Folasade Keleko. It's my pleasure once again to welcome us to this call. Before we go on, it's important for us to draw attention to the background surrounding the performance of 2022. The year 2022 was extremely phenomenal as it was characterized by unprecedented headwinds. These headwinds can be seen around the geopolitical tension at the global level with respect to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, which impacted supply chain adversely. Again, we saw the continued COVID lockdown in 2022 in China. That also exacerbated the supply chain challenges. On the back of this, we have also seen at the global level a rising inflation leading up to an increase in interest rates globally. We have also seen in Ghana the special and unusual economic situation that has necessitated the restructuring of the Ghanaian debt instruments as at end of the year, which also led to some form of hemorrhage arising from the impairment that needed to be implemented as a result of the redenomination of the Ghanaian debt instruments. Back in Nigeria, we've also seen that the forex reserve as at March 29 stood at $35.6 billion compared to $37.1 billion we ended with December 2022. When compared with December 2021 figure, that was $40.5, that gives an indication of a drop in terms of the forex reserve. Again, in terms of inflationary trend, Nigeria was not isolated, as we've also seen inflation rise to all-time high of almost 22%. That has also seen the MPC in the five to six consecutive meeting increasing interest, the MPR, which currently stands at 18%. The implication of this is that interest rates in the economy has increased, and that has also put a lot of pressure on businesses. Brent crude price was fairly high throughout year 2022, though Nigeria couldn't benefit from this high price because our volume has been adversely impacted as a result of weak evacuation infrastructure and also the unprecedented oil theft. However, on the back of all this, we've been able to maintain and deliver a decent and very strong performance with our top line growing by 24%. We've also seen the total deposits grow by 38% and total asset by 30%. Notwithstanding the hemorrhage we suffer in Ghana as a result of the impairment we had to take on Ghanaian instrument, we were able to still record a 2% year-on-year increase in profitability for the group. On a standalone, the bank recorded a year-on-year improvement in profitability by 14%. Albeit, all the parameters stand very strongly for the bank. We've been able to record a reasonable improvement in terms of the management of our costs and also the management of our interest expense, depicting our strong and very prudent and resourceful credit and liquidity management skills. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have also recorded increased volume in terms of our electronic products. Towards the end of the year, we saw the implementation of the Naira design, the redesign of the Naira that created a bit of Naira scarcity that put a lot of pressure on banks. And that has also led to increased spike of, in volume of electronic transaction that created some form of service failures generally in the industry. However, as Zenith Bank, we have remediated our system. Apart from remediating the system, we had already embarked on an upgrade of our IT architecture, which commenced last year. On the back of the challenge you've seen with respect to the Naira redesign and the pressure on general banking software, we have accelerated the implementation date of our own new and transformed IT architecture. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is just to give you a background in terms of how we've done, how we perform. So we are available to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touch tone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then two to remove yourself from the list. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. We will pause to see if we have questions. The first question comes from Muyiwa Oni from SBG Securities. Please proceed with your question, Muyiwa.
Thank you for the presentation and taking time to take our questions. I have a few questions. The first is around Ghana. So just trying to understand the risks out there. So one, I want to confirm if the current impairment includes the euro bond exposure, because there are a few other banks that have exposure in Ghana since we included the euro bonds, so Ghana euro bonds in the asset investments that have been impaired. So just trying to understand if that's the case with Zenith Bank, and then also with your, I wanted to know also the size of Ghana Bank and Ghana euro bond exposure you have as well, if something you can share. Then also still around Ghana, I want to understand.
Muyiwa, I'm very sorry to interrupt you. I just want to check with the main speaker if you are able to hear Muyiwa's questions, because otherwise we are going to have to ask him to reconnect.
Yeah, thank you, Muyiwa. It was so noisy and unstable, so we can barely pick your questions.
Okay, Muyiwa, if I can just suggest if you could please disconnect and reconnect and just come back in the question queue. In the meantime, we will move on to another question. The next question comes from Oluwaseun from FBN Quest. Please proceed with your question.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you for hosting this call. Please confirm you can hear me.
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. All right. So my first question is also around Ghana. I think Muyiwa was asking a question along that line. I just want to get a sense in terms of numbers, what your exposure to Ghana looks like, you know, right now, and what is your outlook really, you know, for your exposure, and how do you think that's going to affect your impairments going forward? Really, how do you think things are going to play out in that market? That's one. Then the second question is, I'm looking at your revenues, your non-interest income, line, and I want to know what you think, what you expect, you know, going forward, given the cash crunch, what you expect in terms of volumes for e-banking transactions. How do you think that is going to reflect on your books? I know during your presentation, I think you mentioned that perhaps there was some downtime, you know, due to the volume of transaction. I would appreciate if you could give some insight as to how that affected and what you can expect going forward. The other question would be around your deposits. I just want to have a sense of how much of the interest rate hike you are able to pass on to, you know, to your deposits. Now, speaking to your deposit bettors, I would appreciate if you could give numbers around that. Then for your effective tax rates, by my computation, I said that in Q4 alone, your effective tax rate was around 39%. I just want to know if this is what we should be expecting going forward, given that the tax-exempt status on fixed income instrument has expired. So should we expect effective tax rate around this level? And then lastly, I appreciate if you could just tell us your net long FCY position.
What was the last one? Can you repeat it?
Your net long foreign currency position.
Okay, FS long position. Okay. Thank you very much, Oluwaseun. Ghana, I think it's good for us to put Ghana in proper perspective that this is, some analysis say it's beyond systemic risk, that is a sovereign risk. It's not an idiosyncratic risk. Therefore, it has implication for the overall market and players. And is a redenomination of the government debt risk-free instrument. Typically, we all know that risk-free instrument is the best kind of instrument that anybody will play with in the market. And it turned out that until the redenomination, the returns on those government bonds were quite attractive. Of course, you'll be holding a treasurer, you know, liable for negligence or weakness in decision if a treasurer looked at the two instruments, the government bonds and the treasury bill, and decided to go for the one that had the weaker yield. So that was it. And what we have there is by virtue of the redenomination and in line with the FRS rules, those instruments assume a new identity. Assuming a new identity now meant that they had to be revalued. That revaluation is a one-off thing. It's a one-off thing. It's just a question of recognizing that this instrument has assumed a deteriorated nature. So that deterioration is not expected to continue into the future because you are not going to have a continued process of restructuring the debt. It's been done. It's a one-off. In terms of the size, if you look at the number, in absolute number, I think you see that our impairment increased by 106%. If you back out Ghana, our impairment would have been much less than that. What you see there is that because of this impairment too, it also has implication for our cost-to-income ratio. So going forward, we believe that as these instruments have assumed a new status, the further deterioration is not likely to be there, even as market begins to trade. Even if it trades in such a manner that there is a slight deterioration, the mark-to-market effect is not going to give you that kind of huge impairment that we've seen. So the outlook about it is, the other thing to say is that we have very strong capital buffers. And even with impairment, I hear that there is already an arrangement for banks to recapitalize. We still maintain very strong capital buffers in Ghana. And we are not caught up. Our shareholders' fund is clearly above the regulatory minimum. On non-interest income, we expect our non-interest income to grow. Yes, in the industry, there was a general downtime because of the unprecedented hike in the volume of electronic transactions. But what that meant was that all the banks in the country, with Zenith in particular, we had to remediate our system to cope with the volume. This has since been concluded. Apart from concluding the remediation and building performance enhancement into our system, we are also installing a brand new IT architecture that is fit for purpose in a typical digital environment. This project started a year ago, and we had a marked completion to be Q4 this year. But based on the volume we see, the growth we see in the electronic product, we have accelerated the program of completion that we should be able to conclude within Q3. On the deposit and interest, I think it's just it's pretty much straightforward. We are in a margin business. Once we see cost move, then we must adjust our lending rate. Just as when cost goes down, we adjust lending rate downward. So what we'll try to do is to make sure that we don't suffer margin compression. So we're able to do that by steadily repricing the interest on our loan. On effective tax rates, I think the CFO can take that. I think the last one is the CFO will take that together with the long position.
Thank you very much, sir. Effective tax rate is actually around 20%, coming up from the range of 12-13%. So what has happened is that now we are taking the full impact of withdrawal of tax holidays on treasury bills and some provisions of the Finance Act. Before, we had some tax losses carried forward. We have some capital allowances unutilized. Those helped us to reduce the effective tax rates. Now we have utilized them, so we are going back to the regular effective tax rate before those concessions on tax on treasury bills came into force. Around 2012, 2013, our effective tax rate hovers around 20-21%. We are back to that 20-21%. So the effective tax rate is 20% if you look at it from the bank. If you want to do the effective tax rate on the group, the high impairment from or the drop in the PBT of the group will distort what you are trying to compute. Then our long position, if you check our FX balance sheet, we have it in our financial statements, you would realize that our long position is around hovers around the is more than 1 billion, far, far more than 1 billion, and we've been holding those long positions. So that also gives us opportunity, strong opportunity for our liquidity and FX liquidity and other aspects of our liquidity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we move on to the next question, ladies and gentlemen, if you are queued for a question, please limit your questions to only two questions per analyst. Thank you. The next question comes from Timothy Womble from APSA. Please proceed with your question, Timothy.
Thank you. I trust you can hear me. Good afternoon, gents. Just a couple of questions. The first one, again, is just on the Ghana debt swap. To my understanding, these were near-term maturities, which were swapped for maturities from 2027, 2028. Just to ask more, you know, for more granular, I guess, answers, is that the impairments taken, are they on this particular debt that was restructured, that has been swapped, or is it potentially for debt which might potentially require a haircut, let's say a reduction in the coupon or the principal perhaps being shaved? The second question is on your deposits, and I'm just looking at slide number 32, and just kindly explain the significant, or rather, the reclassification in your deposits. I can see that retail deposits previously were around 30%. It shot up to 41%. I think you must have reclassified because the past presentation clearly shows that they were under 30%. And maybe tied to that is, are there efforts to address the significant increase in your cost of funds? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Timothy. The restructuring of Ghana debt instrument is a public information available within the Ghana economy. It's not a peculiar thing to Zenith, and what is there is that the bonds, specifically we're talking about our investment in Ghana bonds. Those bonds were aggregated together and given a new tenor, thereby assuming a new life. And again, the coupon was also reduced. By virtue of those two, you had to revalue the bonds. That revaluation to recognize the current actual value of the bond is what led to the impairment. Deposit reclassification, I think I can get the CFO to answer that.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. You talked about deposit reclassification and cost of funds. Cost of funds has moved up because we all know the rate hikes globally. So, and we have guided for cost of funds that will reflect what we expect if you check the guidance that we gave. Reclassification of deposits. We have not reclassified deposits. So what has happened is that the retail bucket of the deposits continue to grow, right? So we continue to have different retail products, and that has supported the retail deposits. We have not done reclassification. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ngozi Odum from Cardinal Stone. Please proceed with your question, Ngozi. Ngozi, you may proceed with your question. If your line is muted, please unmute your line so that you can pose your question. Unfortunately, we cannot hear anything from Ngozi's line. We are going to move on to the next question. The next question comes from Katu Arnold Mukuru from EFG Hermes. Please proceed with your question, Katu.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for hosting the call. We really appreciate it. I think my first question is going to be on page 112 of your financials, looking at your FX risk of the bank. What is interesting is when I sum up the Naira assets and deduct the liabilities, I see that you get a long position. And when I do the same with the dollars, you get another long position. How could you be long US dollars and Naira at the same time? It's really hard for me to reconcile that. And also, I don't understand how the due from other banks increased 125% in 2022 versus 2021. I think that's my first question. My second question is on page 150 of the annual report as well. I'm having a hard time understanding how So what I don't understand is in the loss and gain on other traded books, you say this includes a derivative gain of 43.5 billion in 2002 and 42.8 billion in 2000, for the group and then for the bank. But in the previous year, there was also a very, very similar gain. Yet the net is a loss, and I'm trying to understand where that loss comes from. Is it some type of hedging instrument? And indeed, what instruments exactly were these to try and understand? Because, and also, I don't understand how the gain was booked on treasury bills if yields rose over the last year. I just want to try and get a better understanding of how these trading gains are booked so that we can get a better sense of how to forecast it, because right now it looks really, really tough. Thank you.
Thank you, Kato. So I get the CFO to address your questions.
Okay. Okay, so thank you very much, Kato, for your questions. So you're talking of the FX balance sheet, how we can be long in Naira and can be long in dollar. Okay, so our FX balance sheet, we make income from dollar income, we make Naira income. So we don't exchange or swap Naira to dollar to create the long position. So when we make income in dollars, it's as if it's part of our retained earnings, it's part of our income. So that sits separate, irrespective of the Naira. So we don't use Naira to convert to dollar to create a long dollar position. So it is theoretically possible to have long dollar position and long Naira position because we have retained earnings that we are building in Naira, and we are also making income that we are retaining in dollars. So that explains that. But if you need further clarification, we can have a talk at that. That's what happens on our long. If you go to the page 150 that you were talking about in terms of our derivatives, you are making reference to the gain in the trading book. So you see, the loss stroke gain in other trading book that you have there, you have the derivatives is sitting there, and as you pointed out, you know, for us to do some of these placement or dollar placement or swaps or some transaction with dollar, we have borrowings that are in dollar. So we have a hedging in place that matches the exchange rate movement of the liability to the asset that is used to create, or the cost. We match it to the revenue that is used to create in a hedge that is effective. So that explains why you see that number there. Again, if you want more discussion, we can have that. So, and how do we make treasury bills gain when rates are going up? Our instruments, our swap transactions are in different buckets and different tenures. We have different swap transactions maturing at different points in time. So as they are maturing, we are renegotiating them. We are entering into new arrangements. So it's not one-off swap that is maturing, or we are valuing the whole book at once. Each of them come at different prices as the rates are changing. And those were done strategically to ensure that we don't get caught up in rate hike or rate drop or rate volatility in general. I hope that is clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Ola Olu-Poboye from Cardinal Stone. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon and congratulations on your results. So I have a couple of questions. The first is, I noticed a 10% under collateralization of credit in payment loans. I don't mind if you can speak to the implications of this and how the bank's plans to cover this going forward. Secondly, is the bank considering OldCo structure, maybe this year or in the near term future? And then my next question is on the Pan-African contribution to revenue and PAT. What's the company's target over the next 3 years? So that will be my questions for now.
Okay, Olaolu, thank you very much. The 10% collateralization of the credit impairment, the CFO will take it. On the HoldCo, we already announced to the market that we have CBN in principle approval to transition to HoldCo. So we have a 6 months period approved by CBN for us to effect the implementation. So work is ongoing in terms of the necessary regulatory approval and documentation. In terms of performance, it's important to say that because of the hemorrhage in Ghana, we've seen that if you look at it in group-wise, the group would have performed about 103%. That's the home office. The bank on a standalone would have achieved 103%. Because of the diminution in profits arising from the loss in Ghana, that is why you have it there. Then we've also seen that Zenith UK increasing very, very significantly in profitability, growing profitability by over 315%. Then other subsidiaries have also contributed, but albeit we can say that the bank remains a flagship business of the group. And our UK subsidiary is coming on strong, and there is no indication that that will not continue. So let me get Mukhtar to take the other question. Okay, you talked about the Pan-African presence. Well, one thing is certain, having a whole co-structure gives us opportunity to leverage our experience, our size, and our contacts too. We have always maintained that growth is an important part of our strategy. So being HoldCo means that it's an opportunity for us to also think about other markets to go to. So we are quite open. We are looking at the options. I'm sure pretty soon we'll be able to update the market with respect to new opportunities and new markets that we hope to go into. But are we interested in extending our footprint beyond where we are? The answer is a big yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're talking of under-collateralization. I'm sure you're referring to the notes around page 70 and beyond. So for us as a bank, we have very top-notch customers. Our loan customers are the large corporates that are very strong in terms of cash flows and have very viable business. So it's not always that you lend with collateral. Some of the customers are good enough with very strong cash flows. If you check that particular note and go further, you will see where we have provided ratings of our various customers. Some of them we've rated A, some of them we've rated B. If you read those two notes together, you will understand or you appreciate why the A-rated loans would not necessarily have to have full collateral cover or before we can lend to them. So you saying we have 10%, really you need to understand it in that context. It also reflects the quality of the customers we lend to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Ronak Gardia from EFG Hermes. Please proceed with your question, Ronak.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for your time and taking my questions. My first one, maybe, well, both my questions really just follow-ups. Firstly, on Ghana, could you just clarify, you know, if the full write-down has been done, or should we maybe expect maybe a further write-down this year? The reason I ask is if I estimate, you know, the haircuts that you've taken, by my estimate, it's roughly around 30%, whereas some of your peers have taken a haircut of around 50%. So if you could just, A, clarify how much of a haircut you took and if all of that has been done. And then the second question, I guess maybe a follow-up to what Carter was asking earlier. If I look at the dollar balance sheet that you have on the financial statements, as you mentioned, it's a long USD position. Could you just clarify, is that long USD position, you know, inclusive of the swap arrangements that you have? Or is that net of the swap position? Does that dollar balance sheet, you know, do you derive that dollar balance sheet after taking into consideration the dollars that you've lent out? Or is this before? Would be useful if you could clarify that.
Okay, thank you very much, Rolab. For Ghana, like I said earlier, every information regarding the Ghana debt instrument restructure is in the public space. And what we've done is to take the full impairment. The full impairment, one of the reasons we had a delay was because we were waiting for the regulatory authorities to provide guidance regarding the discount rate to use. So that has been done, and there is no way the regulators will allow you to defer this impairment. I mean, otherwise you contravene IFRS treatment of financial instruments. On the issue of the dollar position, Mukta, you want to deal with that once again?
Yes. Thank you very much, Rona. If you go back again to page 112 that Kato made reference to, you would realize that we made additional notes to say we have 1.66 billion in swaps with various counterparties for various maturities, right? That 1.66 billion is not included in the table that you have seen up. So if you check the table that you have seen up, you can calculate the supposed long dollar position there. If you factor in the 1.6, you will see that we have a stronger long dollar position than the table is indicating. So it's actually net of that swap arrangement that we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Josh Arowolo from Stanbic. Please proceed with your question, Josh. Josh, you may proceed with your question. If your line is muted, please unmute your line so that we can hear you.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for having us. Just wanted to go back to the Ghana discussion quickly because it is topical. Can we just get a sense of the, you know, the breakdown of, let's say, the T-bills and bond exposure and even the Eurobond exposure in the Ghana investment portfolio? Can we get a breakdown, maybe percentage of how much those different classes of instruments were in the overall investment portfolio in Ghana? Thank you.
It's interesting to see how this Ghana debt instrument is attracting so much attention and question. Like I said earlier, what has been done is the TBs were not part of what was restructured. It's about the government bond. They were, all the maturities were put together in one bucket. And recall that the initial discussion was for them to have zero coupon for about 1 or 2 years, but at the end of the day, they arrive at a staggered kind of coupon. The first year, I think, is about 5% and subsequently 8 or so. So what you have there is government bonds. The TBs are not there. The TBs are, not, there's no impairment on the TBs. And let us bear in mind that in terms of, it is just because of the unique and special treatment of IFRS for financial instruments. Otherwise, if we are looking at it in terms of accounting-wise, my government bond of, say, 10 million CDs did not suddenly become 5 million CDs. What has been done by virtue of FRS is to revalue it to say that, yes, these bonds were earning returns of about 30% before. Now you've reclassified, they are not going to end up for you again. They are going to end much lesser. Therefore, the valuation has to change. And as I said, you can look at the treatment given. Every bank is adopting the same. The guidance given by the regulator is between 15.6 and 21%. And pretty much everybody is at that 15.6%. So in terms of the numbers, I would say liquidity-wise, it has not threatened the liquidity position of any bank. But the implication of that impairment is that because you are going to recognize a loss in your P&L, some banks that didn't have adequate reserve, they are going to have a situation where they will need to recapitalize in the immediate term. Luckily, we are not that. We maintain robust shareholders' fund across all the markets where we operate. So, in terms of asking for the numbers, I think pretty much it's not necessary. All we know is that this is what has been done to government instruments in Ghana, and that is what it is. It's not an idiosyncratic situation. It is a systemic and, furthermore, sovereign situation.
Josh, do you have a second question?
No, that's fine if it's not getting disclosed. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Abdul Rauf Bello from WSTC Financial Services. Please proceed with your question.
All right, thank you. Good evening to the management. My question is around your loan book. All right, so on page 158 of your financial statement, I saw that the classification of your loan book shows a significant reallocation from current to non-current. And when I checked your interest rate risk, I realized that the negative interest rate gap widened significantly. And in my head, it tells me that in a rising interest rate environment, your net margins may not, you know, increase in line with the shift in interest rates. I just wanted to get a sense of the thought process around first the reallocation of the loans from current to non-current and why there was a significant shift in your interest rate gap. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Abdul. First is that in terms of net interest margin, we had an appreciation from 6.7% to 7.2%. And that clearly shows that we've exhibited some resourcefulness and profound treasury management skills to be able to maintain a bigger margin, as it were. So let me also invite, I think, between the risk officer and the CFO to throw more light to this.
Okay, thank you very much. Avrov, I can see the 158 you're making reference to. So you know that we have had instances where certain loans have to be restructured. So when you say current, non-current, current means loans that are expected to be paid down within 12 months. That's within a year. But those loans that are expected to be paid down in more than 1 year, then you put them as non-current. That's what it means. So if you say they have been classification, in 2021, you have 1.4 as current, and now it's 600. What it means is we have booked more long-term loans as some of the short-term loans have matured. If you check the financial statements of Nigeria and Zenith Bank and a lot of Nigerian banks, in the past 5 years, we have seen a movement from short-term loans to longer tenure loans. Most of them pushed by the CBN interventions that we have in various sectors that come with very long-term loans, intervention by BOI, and also our own ability to fund long-term transactions. So it's not a reclassification, and it does not represent deterioration. It reflects the fact that we are now funding businesses that are into real sector, that are long-term in nature, and we have the funds to be able to handle those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Damilola Michael Olupona from Chapel Hill Denham. Please proceed with your question, Damilola. Damilola, we cannot hear anything from your line. Please check if your line is muted so that you can pose your question. Unfortunately, we cannot hear anything from that line. The next question is a follow-up question from Oluwaseun from FBN Quest. Please proceed with your question.
All right. Thank you for the second opportunity. I was going to ask about the Ghana Bond. I think justice has been done to that. But something else I would like to know is when the CBN started the whole cash withdrawal limits policy and Naira redesign, basically transitioning into a cashless economy, I think one of the major highlights was that to reduce the cost associated with cash management. So I just want to understand how has that been so far, based on your impact assessment, what we've had so far, what has been the impact for you, and how do you see that going forward?
Thank you, Sean. The Naira redesign policy, yes, apart from the redesign of the Naira, if you look at it, one of the objectives is also to accelerate the advancement of a cashless economy. That program is still on, notwithstanding the fact that the Supreme Court has ruled that the redesigned notes remain legal tender until end of this year. What we've seen is that, first was that the industry underestimated the possible volume of increase in electronic transactions, and that led to an unprecedented hike in volume of transactions. In Zenith, for instance, we realized that in some channels where we are experiencing like an average of, call it 500,000 transactions a day, volume suddenly moved to almost 8 million transactions a day. And the way it is, data traffic is like human traffic. As soon as you have a spike like that, you have congestion, what happens? There is a slowdown. So that resulted in a slowdown in terms of electronic payment across the market that we noticed. But right now, the response the industry has given, not just Zenith alone, is to retune the IT architecture and also building remediation, increase investment in infrastructure, and creating a more expansive and robust network to cope with the increase in transaction. But albeit, we can say that the agenda to have a cashless society is good, but pretty much a reasonable part of the transaction is still denominated in cash. So that is why even when we try to implement, we've seen an unusual surge in customers trying to still withdraw cash. CBN right now has provided more cash, and we are able to pay customers up to the maximum permissible limit for individual 500,000 naira and for corporates 5 million. But however, the whole exercise has created that appetite for people to migrate to digital channels. So the volume has already increased and we don't see it receding. So we see increased opportunity for a lot more transactions to be done through the electronic channel. Some customers who never enrolled before have seen the convenience. Somebody who runs out of airtime can easily, through his phone, buy an airtime at any point in time, depending on the location. So we'll say that is a big plus. It's a big plus for the economy, and which explains we already anticipated that we are going to get to a time where this economy is going to advance steadily towards digital payment, which informed the huge investment we are making in a new IT architecture. We never knew the Naira redesign was coming up when we embark on our own IT architecture. So I will say that we are very much excited about what this has brought us and where we are in terms of capturing opportunities there. So it has changed the landscape. It has changed the landscape, and there is increased adoption. And we don't expect cash drawing to go back to the same level it was before the commencement of the Naira redesign program.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is another follow-up from Kato Arnold Mukuru from EFG Hermes. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to go back to page 112 on the FX risk for the bank. What funded the increase in the due from other banks in 2022? Because if I look at the liabilities, the dollar liabilities, they didn't grow much. I mean, they're up 14%. And the loan book is slightly higher, about 21% higher in dollars. But then this massive increase in interbank placements in U.S. dollars. What funded that? Because I can't see any change on the liability side. So if you could help me understand that. Then secondly, I guess on Ghana, not to keep on Ghana, but I guess the question at the heart of what everyone is asking is, why were the auditors not asking you to revise or rethink the fair value on the other bonds, whether it be the euro bonds or the treasury bills that you hold from Ghana? I mean, they've defaulted on the bonds. There is a risk that they could default on other bonds, i.e. the euro bonds, or their T-bills. And why isn't that a possibility, and why haven't we had any type of provision for that risk that the situation is not done? Thank you.
Okay, Kato, I can rephrase your question. The way to rephrase it will say, why didn't Ghana come up with a default last year? They could have come up with a default last year. It's not within our control. And they just presented the situation to us, and we have no choice but to follow the guidance. So if they come back tomorrow, like somebody asked, do we think it will continue? We don't know. If subsequently they come back after 1 year and say we need to restructure again, well, the thing is, you always have to adapt to the situation of the environment that contains you. We cannot impose our own environment to a uniquely different environment. So whatever it is, government didn't present a restructuring of the debt last year, so they remain the way they are. So if they bring it back, recall, I said, this is beyond market risk, but a sovereign risk. So it's going to necessitate another conversation. It's left to be seen whether they are going to come back and tell us, yes, we've restructured this, we need further restructuring. We don't know. But whatever it is, we wait, and it's not going to be an isolated situation. It will be a market issue and development. So I can get Mukta to come back to your page 112 question.
Okay, thank you very much, Tatu. Before I go to page 112, I think across the firm, the audit firms, they have also looked at all the Ghana government instruments, and some of them have moved to stage two in line with IFRS. Quite a number of those instruments are not in stage one. They have moved to stage two, although there is no direct default yet on them. So to represent or to capture the fact that the risk on those instruments have increased. So in our Ghana subsidiary, the investment in treasury bills is not having zero impairment. It has moved to stage two, and the impairment that is appropriate for that stage has been taken. That is to reflect the increase in credit risk for that instrument. So you will find that across all the banks in Ghana and even in Nigeria, and I guess globally. So we have reflected that, just for you to note. Then you are talking of the funding. How did we fund the due from other banks? Due from other banks in our books is funded by deposits, liability, your dumb deposits. If you look at our deposits, in Naira terms, our total deposit has grown by over 2 trillion. And part of that growth is our dumb deposit, domiciliary deposit has grown. That's number one. Number two, if you look at our borrowings from different sources, different international bank, multilateral agencies, have also grown within the period. Then you also look at our other liabilities, customers' funds that they've been bringing for LC and other trade finance transactions have also grown. When you add the three, that accounts for the growth in the due from other banks. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Abdul Rauf Bello. Please proceed with your question, sir.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but I didn't get your response on the widening interest rate gap on page 116.
Hi, this is the operator. I just wanted to check if you heard the question.
Please, ask your question again. What did you say about interest rate gap, please?
Okay, so I'm on page 116. I said there was the interest rate gap widened significantly. And that's when I spoke about outlook for, so I saw that at the end of 2022, and I'm trying to make sense of, okay, what to expect going forward. So the sensitive portion of your customer deposit went up, and the sensitive part of your loan book declined. So I just wanted to get an understanding of the thought process around that move. That's all.
Well, I'm trying to understand your questions with regard to the sensitivity of both the deposit and this. But the way to understand the movement in that is to look at the NIM. So if you look at the NIM, and if you also look at the absolute number in terms of interest income, if you dissect the dimension and performance, you see that one of the strongest areas of growth was increase in interest income. We recorded a double-digit increase in interest income, but I'll leave Mukhtar to further explain that.
Okay, so you will know that within this period, we have seen a lot of rate hikes by the central bank. MPR has increased. So once you have MPR increasing, you have savings accounts going up. So your deposits, you're having people putting their deposit more in savings. Before, the savings used to be very stable. You don't have a lot of rate hikes. Now rate hikes is going up. So the savings account is also repriced more frequently. Then you also have the tenure, right? You have a situation where the tenure is also shorter because people expect it to reprice, so they do shorter tenure. But overall, when you look at the rate sensitive and the non-rate sensitive, as has been mentioned earlier, and you go back to the NIM that we have done within the period, it shows you that we have been able to take advantage of the rate hikes to reprice our assets in a reasonable way to accommodate the increase in the cost of funds. That is why our NIM has grown year on year. We have also guided for growth in the NIM. We are guided 8% of NIM next year. So I don't think this seeming range sensitive between the asset and liability is something that will affect our performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Onyagu, at this time, I'd like to hand over to you for closing remarks. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. There's a lot of uncertainty. We are quite mindful of the fact that there is increased volatility. And what we can assure the market is that, typical of Zenith, we are going to maintain deliberate calm and make sure that we respond to trends we see in the market in the most intelligent and strategic manner. We will ensure that we are not garrisoned in a position of difficulty where we find it, impossible for us to respond as appropriate. We will continue to watch the market. Notwithstanding all this, the headwinds, we still find tailwinds with respect to the fact that there are some positive developments in our economy. We also expect that our soon-to-be-assumed new structure of a HoldCo will give us that opportunity to develop new business verticals, especially in the fintech space, given the growing awareness and appreciation of digital and electronic banking transactions. We also expect that the CBN raised to $200 billion program to promote exports, repatriation of non-oil exports will continue. And let me say that based on what was achieved last year, Zenith Bank clearly stands as the dominant export bank in the non-oil export bank in the country, because based on the rebate, Zenith Bank customers got an average of 55%. That did not happen. It was not by chance. It was as a result of our deliberate focus and attention to grow the non-oil export based on the program we started about 8 years ago. We'll continue to pursue this program, and we'll continue to enroll new exporters and helping our exporters to scale in terms of access to funding and capital, and also exposing them to export markets. So we'll monitor the situation and ensure that we'll continue to create value. We'll create value in the most innovative manner, and we'll do it responsibly and ethically so. So we want to assure you, based on the guidance we're giving, it will be tough, certainly. This year is going to be tough. There's no joke about it. But we'll fall back to our adversity quotient and make sure that we deliver even stronger and more resounding numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you very much for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.